All right, we don't have a team in the playoffs, but we're going to have some fun anyway. We are going to draft and compete against one another. Four rounds, four teams apiece. John versus me versus Behind the Glass. Team producer, Gov and Greg going to work together on this one. We did a randomized draft order. And, well, lo and behold, I got the number one pick.
I think I'm going to see a lot of shaking of heads behind the glass. So, I think there might be a disparity.
Greg has kind of told me to take the reins on this. He gave me kind of just a broad opinion, and so then I'll get shaking heads when I do something that he doesn't like.
yeah, Mr. Philly.
But hey, he gave me the power, so.
So the order, I'll go first. Behind the glass goes second. John will pick third and go wrap around with the snake style draft. Are we ready?
Yeah.
With the number one pick. I'll take the Los Angeles Rams. MVP of the league should be Matthew Stafford. Him and his head coach have done it before. I will take them as a wild card team as the number one pick.
All right, and I suspected that. I thought you would take them. They're pretty much the favorite, so not a surprise. And so with consulting with Greg, and I had said he'll take the Rams, the first thing Greg said was the Bills, and I'm fine with that. I know they're the sixth seed in the AFC, but they got the best quarterback maybe in the playoffs. And I know I've been accused of being a Josh Allen honk, but Greg is in on this. So we will take the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. All right. I don't disagree. That probably would have been one of my top picks just because it is Josh Allen and they run the ball. They can control the ball with their running back. They can control the ball with their quarterback. I think that's a tremendous pick. So Rams off the board, the Bills are off the board, and so I'm going to go one in the NFC and one in the AFC.
Smart.
I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
Out of the NFC, and I know exactly what I'm doing in terms of Sam Darnold. And then on the flip side, I'm going, okay, AFC. Who do I think is going to be the team out of the AFC? Do I go with New England? And the thought that, their schedule, they won a lot of games against – you know, not great teams. I know that Drake May is also in the MVP running. Or do I go Broncos with Bo Nix?
Take both teams with the bye. Take 2-1 seeds.
Then I have no first round picks, at least as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one seeds have had a lot of success lately, except for last year.
Oops. Oops. Wait, what are you talking about? Or do I go, I mean, it's Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville. So I'm going to step outside the box a little bit. I'm not going to go with the one seed. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
You jerk.
I knew that was going to be your next pick. I did that somewhat because I knew you were going to go there next.
They were going to be my pick, and I don't know how Greg would have reacted to that, but I just love their defense. I think it can just potentially roll through these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Greg, I'm down to two teams here. So I want you to kind of apply. Yeah? You want to go there?
Yeah.
All right. He's going to let me wear my name. Mr. Philadelphia.
Damn it.
The Eagles flipped the switch in the playoffs.
Uh-huh. They got the experience.
Okay. Well, you're kind of saving me from myself because I don't want to go two NFC teams back-to-back to start. So I've got the Rams. With the next pick, I'm going to take the New England Patriots.
Okay.
I feel like that's the best team left on the board. I get a damn good head coach, quarterback playing out of his mind. Okay, New England. And then I go back-to-back here?
Yep.
I guess why don't I take... Oh, no. No. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh. Okay. Who would have thought four NFC teams would be gone first? I didn't anticipate that.
This goes back to behind the glass.
All right, Greg, I know we're not touching the NFC teams here at this point. I know how you feel about that. No Bears, right? You don't want to do Bears. Okay. Broncos?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll take the one seat at this point. Now, I do worry that we're going to have a Bills-Broncos divisional round game, but hey, we get one to the championship game.
Yeah, I debated the Broncos. I just didn't want to do Pats and Broncos, like two teams that feel like kind of the same, right? Young, not having been in this spot before. I want to diversify more my portfolio a little bit. So I left the Broncos on the board. You guys take Denver. John, back to back.
Oh, boy. So this my draft will be done after this, going with just four teams. So I'm going to have to take Jacksonville.
he says with so much joy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you get down to this point, right? And it's, yeah, you know, you're not the heavy Super Bowl favorites are not there.
They're gone.
And then I've got NFC, AFC, AFC. So I need another NFC team, but then I'm left with either Chicago, Green Bay, or Carolina. So then I'm basically deciding, do I think Chicago beats Green Bay at home?
Right, you got to pick.
Green Bay is the favorite.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ben Johnson and the Bears. I just think I don't trust Jordan Love. I don't trust that defense as much as I obviously did earlier with Micah Parsons. It's going to be in Chicago, so I feel pretty confident that they'll win that first round.
Okay, I could see it. You're fading Jordan Love. All right, guys, behind the glass, your last pick.
Well, I don't know if he's going to play it or not, but they play Sunday night, and I kind of like them in New England in this Sunday night spot. Proven Super Bowl appearance coach with Jim Harbaugh. We're going with the Chargers. Oh, Sunday night. Greg? Oh.
You think they finally get, Justin Herbert finally gets a playoff win?
Yes.
Not very happy with you right now. I didn't think you would do a third AFC team. I was trying to play the game within the game.
We're not touching
right,
those two P teams.
So now you're left
just let people know.
You got to pick one of Green Bay, Pittsburgh, or Carolina. Does Mike Tomlin finally get an A-Aaron?
So just so people understand, the Panthers are double-digit dogs with a losing record.
Hey, maybe they fit you with the disco.
Maybe, but I have the Rams, so I don't know that I want to do that.
Well, you get one team.
Sure.
Yeah, you're guaranteed at least one win.
Yeah, but let's play this out. The Panthers win that game. I lost the number one overall pick in the Rams, and I'm probably not making a deep run with Carolina. That's not a good...
Yeah, but it's in Carolina. What happened to the Rams last time they went to Carolina.
I know, but that's not a good strategy to win this game. So I'm going to take Carolina off the consideration, and now I got to make amends with Jordan Love or Mike Tomlin.
Green Bay or Green Bay's former quarterback in Aaron.
Packers, Panthers, or Pitt?
I am going to go...
Well, you already took Carolina off the board.
Yeah, I'm just not doing that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Look, I said Chicago's a bunch of pretenders. Green Bay's favored in that game. It's at least a coin flip. That's the right play here. I am not happy to select Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, but I'm going to do it. Give me Green Bay. Now I got three NFC teams.
Sorry, man. You wanted the number one pick.
I know.
So
that was the breaks.
Two teams hosting games this weekend were not picked.
Yeah, two home teams this weekend. Right. Steelers
the two four
and Panthers.
Seeds. Yeah. The two frauds.
Yeah. The two teams that only got in because they won their division. So just to recap where everybody stands, I've got the Rams, Pats, Niners, and Green Bay Packers. Behind the glass team producer, you guys have the Bills, the Eagles, the Broncos, and the Chargers.
Ooh.
And John Jansen has Seahawks, Texans, Jaguars, and Bears.
Uh-huh. I'm going full on Duval.
Who has the best lineup of teams? Who drafted the Super Bowl champion?
Is there any world where you think that the Steelers could eke out a win against the Texans?
Spread's 3.5. Sure. It's possible. Aaron against that front, though, feels like a really tough ask.
It really does. I don't even know if they can protect him. However, it's kind of the same thing on the other side. Will they be able to protect C.J. Stroud enough against Watt and company?
Yeah, you get Watt back now. He had the game under his belt from Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Game's in Pittsburgh. Tomlin is a dog.
Which game do you think is most up in the air this weekend?
I think the most coin flippy game is Packers-Bears.
Packers-Bears?
Yeah.
I'll say this. I've been talking about the Texans for weeks. That is the game, I think, where nobody is thinking that the Steelers are going to win. Mm-hmm. And that's happens in these NFL playoffs. That's where I'm worried about it right now. It's kind of like Seattle when they beat the Saints 10 years at least ago now with Marshawn Lynch, but it just has that making of that where I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and I keep going back to that Packers-Bears game because the Bears, and I forget what the year was, but it's been a long time since a team that's gone 2-4 in their division has won a division. Now, they're hosting against the Packers, but it is a coin flip game. And I think I'm just resting on Ben Johnson and his what we've heard when he was here in Detroit, what we've heard about him and his development of Caleb Williams. It's about the minute details. They didn't have those minute details secured against Detroit, but I think on the flip side, they will against the Packers.
All right, guys. Those are our teams for the postseason. We'll track how we do. It's 97-1. We're going to be talking about the Pistons at 7:35. We've got the two Grand Slam coming up as well. But first, Heather with the news.
Yeah, so listen to this. A proposal at Boyne Mountain nearly went wrong when the ring fell 118 feet from the sky bridge into the snow below. So there's this Rochester Hills man, Trevor Van Camp. He had planned the surprise weekend to propose to his girlfriend, and they were on this sky bridge. He got down on one knee, proposed, and then with shaky hands, he pulled the ring out of the box.
Shaky, you know, cold hands.
Yeah, nervously, yeah. And then it fell down through the grating into the snow, into the slopes below. And they didn't give up hope. The couple spent 2.5 hours searching the slopes with metal detectors that happened to be provided by the night shift snowmaking supervisor. Had these metal detectors in his car. And then they kind of just gave up. They said, you know what? We've been out here for a while. The chances are probably very slim. We're going to call it a night. We're going to get ready to go home. Well, the supervisor said, I'm not giving up quite yet. He stayed out a little bit longer, searched, couldn't find it, but he went at the very end and picked up a handful of snow. And he saw the ring.
A little sparkle.
The likelihood of that. So they were like on their way out the door. Bags were packed. And the guy ran over and was like, I found the ring. So proposal saved. And now they've got this story to tell for generations.
If you watch the video too, you can hear it hit the grate. You hear the ding. Oh, no.
Oh, man. So I'm glad they were able to find that ring. Detroit is preparing to launch a program that will give cash to all expecting and new mothers in the city. Mayor Mary Sheffield announced plans to launch the popular RX Kids program, which aims to ease the burden on families at what can obviously be a very financially challenging time and also a really crucial period for a baby's development. So RX Kids offers $1,500 in cash assistance mid-pregnancy. You have to be at least 16 weeks or further in your pregnancy, and then $500 a month for at least 6 months of the baby's life. RX Kids focuses on areas with high needs measured by kid poverty, maternal and infant health, is open to moms regardless of income. And they say this Detroit program is expected to launch within the next 100 days, and it would be one of the largest of its kind in the nation. So pretty cool. Mm-hmm. A 30-hour police standoff in Ypsilanti involving a 53-year-old man who barricaded himself inside the home with a sword came to a peaceful end on Monday night. So police say they were called to the area after this guy tried to get into a neighbor's home. The man then charged at officers with the knife, then barricaded himself inside the home and went into the attic. Authorities used everything they could. Crisis negotiators, SWAT, tear gas, everything they could do to try to get this man to come out. And finally, after more than a day of chaos, the man safely was arrested, and no injuries were reported. So that's great.
Well done.
Hey, if you've noticed that Pat Caputo hasn't been on our airwaves for a little while, it's because he has been battling and dealing with some major health issues. On Monday, he announced on X that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Shocking news, I think, to everyone. I know we didn't know about it. Obviously, we knew he was away, but didn't know exactly what was going on. But his post read, for those wondering where I've been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, commonly referred to as a death sentence, and had two other serious ailments, which put me in ICU for several days. It was sudden. I've literally been on my back for weeks. Bless you all.
Yeah, this hit us like a ton of bricks yesterday, and I have a unique experience with Pat. You know, we wish him the best of luck, first off, that he can recover.
Miracles happen every day.
Yeah, this is going to need a miracle. It is, because pancreatic cancer stage four is the hugest of mountains to climb, probably. But I interned with Pat in 1998. It was him and Mark Wilson. It was a brand new show, and it was for the Red Wing. They didn't have a morning show, so they created a morning show because the Red Wings were in the playoffs. So it was called the Red Wing Morning Playoff Show. So they won the cup. So I got to experience a ton of things. But the first thing Pat ever said to me is, you know what? You're going to be more than a coffee intern. And so I'm like, cool. That means I'm going to get opportunities. And boy, did I get them. I got to go in the Tiger Clubhouse with them a few times, see how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to act in a press box. And then they even one time, they let me talk on the air. Like, what kind of interns get to talk on? So I got so much experience that it kind of catapulted me. So he's kind of like a mentor to me.
That's awesome.
And one time I went to WCW Nitro at the Palace, and they let me give a wrestling review on the air, and were just making fun of me the whole time. Rodman competed in this thing. Right. It was just crazy. But, you know, we wish Pat the best of luck, and it's just devastating news yesterday.
He is a cornerstone columnist, multiple radio stations, our radio station for a very long time, a part of people's weekends. I know people have been asking, where is Pat? We're all pulling for him.
Yep. Hey, the two Grand Slam is coming back, and if you'd like a chance to play, this is your time to call 248-539-9797. Good luck, everyone. Hey, today is January 6th, and it's National Take Down Your Christmas Tree Day.
Oh!
Is your tree still up?
We took one down this weekend, and the other one was supposed to go down yesterday, but it'll go down today or tomorrow.
It's any day now.
Yeah.
We took all the ornaments off.
It's the worst part of, like, putting the tree up to me is so fun because you're getting in the spirit. Yep. It's festive, but taking it down sucks. I dread it. Colin and I were talking about, can we hire somebody?
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. It's how much we dread doing it.
Yeah, but they don't know what boxes the ornaments go in.
I know. I would be too picky about it, but. But taking that, and some of the ornaments, like on like the tree we have in the basement, that's sentimental. It's like you've got to wrap some of them because they're
fragile.
Yeah, they're fragile. You don't want them to break.
That Italian.
We've got ribbon on ours that you have to wind up. It's just a hassle. But anyway, apparently this National Take Down Your Christmas Tree Day is always on the 6th because the 12 days of Christmas ended last night. And apparently per tradition, you're supposed to take your tree down today. Also, if you have a real tree, it's probably time.
Oh, yeah.
The real trees get, they dry out and then all the needles are falling. And
doesn't Wojo keep his up all year?
That's what I hear.
Yes. And it's been going on for like 20 years or so, probably more.
That's true. It is a true. I mean, I've heard.
He says it. I've seen it in June.
Okay. Well, then.
But I haven't been to his house in a long time.
Sounds like it's real.
Okay. Heather, are you considering that? Just keeping it up all year?
Never.
Okay.
No. It's
no.
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 Mm-mm.
All right, for the first time in 2026, it's the two Grand Slam.
Well, this would be a fun way to start the new year. $2,000 in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We know the rules, 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly, and $2,000 if our contestant can get them all right.
Waking up with us this morning, it's Jeff in Garden City. Jeff, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning. You too, Jim, John, and Heather. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, Jeff, if there's one you don't know, you can say pass. And if there's enough time, we'll get back to it. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Your timer is going to start right now. Who did the Detroit Pistons play last night?
New York Knicks.
Where did Jalen Brunson play in college?
Pass.
What's the capital of Texas?
Austin.
Which team won the NFC South this season?
Carolina.
Who plays Tommy Norris in Landman?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Who is the head football coach of the Miami Hurricanes?
Pass.
This band had the 2005 hit Best of You.
Pass.
Who currently leads the NHL in goals scored this season?
Pass.
Who is the head coach of the New York Knicks?
Brown.
Who led the NFL in rushing yardage this season?
Jonathan Taylor.
Where did Jalen Brunson play in college?
Kentucky.
Who's the head football coach of the Miami Hurricanes?
Pass.
Five?
Yes. Started off great.
Yeah, I faded there at the end. Sorry.
It's all right.
I mean, five's not bad.
$125.
All righty.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, you got four out of the first five. So, Jeff, appreciate you playing. And hang on the line. We'll get you paid. We'll go through
the answers here.
Thanks, Jeff.
Tuesday Grand Slam is brought to you by Feminine Neo Law. Get David, get paid.
Who did the Pistons play last night?
He nailed that one, the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And so did the Pistons.
Where did Jalen Brunson play college? Not Kentucky, but...
Villanova.
Yes. Along with most of that starting lineup out there.
Yes.
Most of that team. Capital of Texas.
Austin.
Who won the NFC South?
The Carolina Panthers with a losing record.
Who plays Tommy Norris in Landman?
Billy Bob Thornton. Got that one as well.
I haven't seen Landman, but the only guy I could name would be Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Everybody's raving about it.
Show.
Yeah, I know. I've heard good things. Head coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
That would be Mario Cristobal. Mm-hmm.
John, the 05 hit, Best of You.
Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have got that one. I know the song, but yeah. Just couldn't remember who it was.
You want to sing some of it for us?
Nope.
Who currently leads the NHL in goals scored this season?
That would be Nathan MacKinnon.
Yes. Wish he would have just thrown out somebody, even like McDavid, just to see what would happen. Yep. Head coach of the New York Knicks, he got that correct.
Yep, Brown.
And this one's interesting. I don't think people realize who led the NFL in rushing yards this season.
That would be James Cook III.
You would think, well, you know, Eagles had Barkley,
Bijan,
Gibbs. Taylor would have been a great guess the season
Henry.
That he had. Yeah, Henry with the finish he had.
Jonathan Taylor was actually third.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry was second. The ageless wonder. Bijan Robertson was fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But A-chain. Cook. Yeah.
Cook of the Bills.
Mm-hmm. That's why when Tom took the Buffalo Bills in the draft that we had, the snake draft of who's going to win the Super Bowl, I didn't say his name because I didn't want to give away all the answers. But one of the reasons I think the Bills could possibly win the Super Bowl, number one reason, Josh Allen. Number two reason, they have the NFL's leading rusher.
Well, they need to be able to stop the run.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's such an easy equation for them. I think they're getting to the Super Bowl if they can just get better against a run. I've seen teams do that before. Mm-hmm. By the way, when he got to like questions 6, 7, 5, 6, 7 there, his passes got more and more depressing.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah.
Like the best of you passed. Yes. It's like he was waving the flag.
Well, because you think like when you start out and you got 4 or 5, you know these answers. This is going to be my moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Next chance to win. Next chance to win is on Thursday, 7:25. Hey, coming up next, let's talk about our basketball team. A showdown against the New York Knicks. 1-2 in the East. Statement loud and clear. It's 97-1. Pistons played last night, showdown of the top two teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference. And, John, Pistons made a statement.
Yes, they did. A very emphatic statement. Huh. Thanks for participating.
Yeah, not bad for a nice little basketball team. Detroit won by 30 points. It was their largest margin of victory of the season. This one meant a little more, and they played accordingly. They outworked the Knicks. Look at the battle on the boards. Look at the blocks and the steals and the hustle stats. Look at what our star player did compared to their star player. Cade Cunningham was lethal. He was in control. He involved his teammates. Jalen Brunson finished with the same number of assists as John and I did.
Mm-hmm.
0. He was hounded all night by Asar Thompson. And as soon as you think you can catch your breath and Asar leaves the game, in comes Ron Holland to pressure the basketball. They played intense from the jump, and they didn't let their foot off the gas. And they actually stepped on the gas in the fourth quarter to tack on a few extra points, just so there's no doubt who the best team in the East is. John, that's the statement they made.
Well,
they're the beast in the East. The best team in the East is the Pistons.
And hats off to JB and the players as well. I'm sure the conversation at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth was, hey, we've been here before. Remember this in the playoffs last year where we had these leads going into the fourth and then they evaporated and you eventually lose. Or you need late game heroics. Let's eliminate that possibility. And quite honestly, you know, at halftime, they're up 10.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even feel like it was that close.
No.
They just simply controlled it from start to finish.
And think about it. Pistons were playing on a back-to-back without
Yep. Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, and Caris LeVert. Didn't look like they were shorthanded. Didn't look like they had some tired legs. It looked like they had a point to prove. And I think everybody should be paying attention to what they did last night. We called it the unofficial kickoff, tip-off of NBA season, of basketball season. Yeah, man. You should be paying attention to these Pistons. Because they're a lot of fun. They play hard. And they win.
And they've only lost that one back-to-back. And that was that was game four. And it was against Cleveland.
Yeah, most NBA teams lose the back-to-back. The Pistons are 6-1 on the second leg of a back-to-back. They don't take nights off. They're worthy of your time. If you're some of these fans who have been turned off by the NBA, I get it. I'm not going to fight you on it. But the Pistons play a different brand of basketball. It is not what you see night in and night out in the NBA.
How much stock do you put into, obviously, young teams learning throughout the course of the season? They obviously learned a lot last year. And in January, hey, they flipped the switch and all of a sudden become a playoff team. But I just mentioned that back-to-back that they lost to Cleveland, and we had talked about it briefly because it was in the middle of football season, But it was lethargic. They didn't look like, you know, and we had talked about, hey, this is a young team. Yeah, they're aggressive and their style of defense. They're a fast-paced team. How much of that moment do you think that they have learned from and been able to utilize in some of these other back-to-backs?
They've certainly learned a lot of lessons in a short amount of time.
The numbers say it. I just don't know if you're looking at one – quote unquote data point, and how much can that translate to everything else that you've seen throughout the course of the year? Or was that just simply a one-off? Right now, it's a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the anomaly. They show up every night. And look, and if the Knicks didn't take it seriously, shame on them.
Well, I don't know how they couldn't take it seriously.
Well, it's you know, the postseason, and you know, we didn't have Josh Hart, and we're on the road. Dude, that's a measuring stick moment. There are a few games that stand out more than others in the NBA regular season. When you get two teams at the top of a conference going, shot for shot, toe to toe, and your will gets broken the way the Knicks' will was broken in that game, yeah, man, like if you have any pride, you got to fight through it. And they didn't want to outwork the Pistons. You would not outwork that team last night.
No, and okay, when you win that game, like we heard from JB, who says, it's one of 82 games.
Yeah.
That's the response you can have after you've just dominated your opponent in that game and you move on. Mm-hmm. But what was at stake in that game? Certainly it's not definitive of what will happen in the postseason.
No.
It does give you maybe an indication, but for the Pistons and the Knicks, like just hanging around, the Knicks losing that game, they lost a spot. The Celtics jumped them.
Yep.
You know, they're at 3.5 behind the Pistons, and the Pistons directly had a chance to create a little bit more distance between them and somebody else that's in contention for the Eastern Conference.
So, look, Piston fans, if you're at that game, crowd was into it. It was a hell of a game to go to. If you were watching, if you're starting to pay attention, we want to hear from you. 248-539-9797. John, you had that question.
Yeah, I mean, now that the Lions season is over and we don't have a dog in the fight, we also don't have one in the college football playoffs. Football season locally has ended. Mm-hmm. Is this the unofficial start to your basketball season?
Yeah. Are you in on basketball? And this could be Pistons, but it could also be Spartans and Wolverines, who are both playing phenomenal too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of really good basketball. If you haven't been paying attention and you're just jumping in right now,
cool.
Hey, Michigan, number one in the, was it the AP poll?
Undefeated.
And Michigan State, number nine in the AP poll. Coming off a good win last night against USC.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden the Pistons, hey, they are starting to create some distance between them and some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. They are currently in first place.
Yeah, we're going to be talking more about the Pistons. We want to know that you guys are on board. 248-539-9797. Have you guys flipped that switch? Are you in basketball mode now? Look, Cade right now is the best player in the Eastern Conference. And I believe only Luka and SGA have better odds to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Pistons are the number one team in the Eastern Conference, led by the best player in the Eastern Conference. And it's not like they're a one-man show. They come at you in waves. They're deep. They defend. They outwork you. Points in the paint. Blocks. Steals. Offensive boards. Duncan Robinson grabbed an offensive board last night. I'm like, he's getting to the glass. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Game over. And I thought the second unit, Ivy playing with Danis Jenkins, feeding off one another. Ivy playing more off ball, a shooter, a scorer, a problem. They are a deeper basketball team than they were a year ago. John, if Isaiah Stewart plays, I think they beat the Knicks in the playoffs last year. I really do. And having that experience under their belt, and clearly it's powered them forward into this year. Yeah, man. Look, Tatum could come back and make things squirrely in the East, but the Pistons are the best team today in the Eastern Conference.
And I'm grateful for the Pistons for putting this game away early so that we could flip over, because they were on Peacock, and it does take a little effort to flip back to regular TV on FS1 to watch Michigan State play.
Yeah.
And so Michigan State was, I think the tip-off was like at 8:30.
Yes.
So, hey, the Pistons had this one in the bag. You get a chance to tip over, you know, look over there. And then I was also obviously looking at the FCS championship that was on last night, Montana State and Illinois State. So I'm still going to dip my toe in the football world.
Was that an OT game, by the way?
Oh, yeah. It was OT. It was there were some great moments in that game. And nobody has watched it. But yeah, it went into OT, and it was a blocked field goal, and then it was, or a blocked extra point, and then it was the field goal to win it in OT. It was awesome.
Well, let's start getting to people on the phones. 248-539-9797. Got a team we can talk about on the hardwood. Paul in New Baltimore, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, you kind of took my thunder a little bit there. But, yeah, they're deep. I mean, the Pistons, if you looked at it, they're not 7-8 guys deep. They're, you know, potentially 10-11 guys deep. And they're playing ball on both ends of the court. You're watching their three-point percentage start to go up, yeah. I would say, over the past couple weeks, which is a dangerous thing, because they don't have to shoot a three if they keep playing defense the way they are. They can continue to kind of drive the basket, control the tempo of the game. I mean, Cade's playing amazing. And when you're missing two starters and, you know, arguably potentially your sixth man, and you're still able to put a whooping on New York the way that you did, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun to watch. Haven't gotten to see it in a very long time. And, you know, Stu, the way he's been playing defensively, it's one of those things where when time comes and Durant's back, you could have two bigs playing in the middle of the court, and you're going to have to force people to shoot from the outside. And I think it's going to be a great thing for us.
I think you're spot on. And Stewart even gets switched sometimes out into space, and he did a decent job when he's got switched onto Brunson a little bit. Think about what the Pistons have set up with this depth, where you can say Durin and Stu could play the entire game with one of them on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson and Holland, you could play the entire game with one of them on the floor. When Cade leaves, they've gotten such a leap from Sasser and Danis Jenkins and Jaden Ivey that there's not really a big drop-off. I mean, there's a drop-off from Cade, but there's not a drop-off. Like, there's not a pocket of the game where the other team has a chance to make up ground or breathe or catch their breath.
Right, and you know, there's different levels of defense in regards to, you know, it's different for Asar Thompson to play defense than it is Cade. But when Cade has a block against McBride at the rim,
yep,
like, you know, everyone is involved. You're not just, hey, these are our defensive specialists. Everyone is playing on both ends of the floor.
Phone calls, texts, a lot to talk about with the Pistons. Love it. It's 97.1.
Hey, for more than 30 years, Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration has helped men across Southeast Michigan restore their hair and the confidence that comes with it. And this just isn't his profession. It's personal. Dr. B has had the procedure himself. He's restored his son's hair. And when his nephew started losing his, he trusted Dr. B too. That's how much his own family believes in the technology, the team, and the results. Every procedure is done by Dr. B and his full-time in-house medical staff. There's no rotating crews and definitely no traveling techs. He's the only Detroit-area physician offering both SmartGraft and NeoGraft, these advanced, minimally invasive solutions that deliver real, lasting growth. So don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Make 2026 the year you look like yourself again. Get a free consultation, and when you mention 97.1, take $1,000 off your procedure. Let Dr. B guide you like family through your own restoration journey. Visit MichiganHairRestoration.com, where your confidence grows back.
Blaha, Rick Mahorn on the call last night on the radio. It was a Peacock game. It was the number one versus the number two showdown in the Eastern Conference. They're more than that. Pistons with a 31-point win against the New York Knicks. That's a statement made. The best team in the East is in Detroit, and it's emphatic. It's definitive.
It is. And it's, I mean, that was a game that, you know, we earmarked at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we were able to all focus on it last night, nothing else, no distractions. It was the Knicks coming to town. We know what happened in the playoffs last year. And was this the playoffs? No. This was a midseason game. But they did make a statement in that game.
Some of the response coming in on the text, and we have a bunch of phone calls, guys. People are paying attention. This is a good sign. We've got a lot of people invested in the Pistons, and they're certainly worth people's time. This one says, guys, I love what the Pistons are doing as much as I hate what the NBA's become. That said, the fact that they're on FanDuel really sucks. I'm not paying another $20 just to see a few games per month. Well, this is going to be the test. When our teams were winning, would people be willing to pay? Guys, anytime Brunson had the ball, instant booze. I was right by the opposing tunnel, trash-talking them. It was awesome to see the Knicks' spirit be just eliminated. Eladio and Wyandotte.
Mm-hmm.
I love the shots of Spike Lee, sad, courtside, or Brunson pouting when they went to TV timeout. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm mainly a football guy and a PGA Tour guy, but I will watch the Pistons and the Wings of the Tigers when they make runs.
Well, and here's the thing about going back to the text prior to that in regards to, I'm not a fan of the NBA either. I don't like the style that it has become. Hey, shoot some threes. You just stand around until somebody shoots a three, and then you go down to the other side of the court and then you do the same thing. The Pistons aren't that style. They are fun to watch. They're fast-paced. They play defense. They play, I don't want to say old school because it's not necessarily old school.
No.
It's just fun brand of basketball to watch.
You know, and with the Celtics playing well, and maybe they're going to be the challenge and not the Knicks.
Yeah.
And when Tatum comes back, who knows? But the philosophies are going to be greatly like matching up here in terms of three-point volume.
Yeah.
The Celtics are huge in three-point shooting volume.
Well, you mean they're opposites?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to see, well, is this going to, can you run this thing to the finals potentially playing a little bit less 3-point shooting basketball?
And now even on the broadcast last night, pregame, Isaiah Thomas was talking about it. Like, yeah, they do need another shooter here in Detroit, but there's a clear philosophy where they don't rely on the three. They rely on their defense, transition buckets, points in the paint. They let Cade probe the defense and let the defense determine where the shot's going to come from. And if he can get to the cup, or he can throw an alley-oop, or they can get a high-percentage shot, they're going to do it. Now, to become the best, well-rounded version of themselves, one more shooter would help. Yep.
So we were talking during the break. You want me to look up, what's their 82-game pace? Their 82-game pace right now is 52-30. That's a little lower than I actually would have thought.
Yeah.
So I dug back in, because there was a turning point last year.
January 1?
No. That's when Ivy got hurt.
Okay.
It was December 19th. They lost at home to Utah, and they fell to 11-17. They went on a 7-1 stretch there leading up to this 80. So in their last 90 games, they're 59-31.
Okay.
It does a little more justice to the hot streak that they've been on. They're almost a 600 win pace in last 90 games.
Yeah, for over a year now, they've been playing a really good brand of basketball and getting better, by the way, because this year they've taken another step forward. Okay, 248-539-9797. Guys, have you seen the Pistons record without Tobias Harris? They're 12-1. Better without Harris and LeVert, Robert, and Clarkston.
Well, I'm not going to sit there and say that they're going to make a run in the postseason without those guys. They've been able to sustain without some of their top players.
Agreed. He gives them some front court shooting.
Yeah.
I also would read into this stat and say he's a guy that could be part of a bigger trade.
As
an expiring contract?
Yeah,
and you go, we can win without him.
Let's get that shooter?
Yes. That's one way I would look into that. Let's get to the phones. TJ in Belleville, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to chime in on the performance last night. Man, I was really, really impressive from the Pistons. The two concerns I had going into that game didn't occur. And I think that, you know, when they play that brand of basketball consistently, it's going to be a real tough out in the East. The concerns that I have going forward is, you know, every game this season, they seem to go on this 3 or 4 minute scoring drought. Their defense usually backs them up, you know, it kind of keeps them in the game. But in this league, like a 10 point lead is nothing. So, you know, you go on a 3-4 minute scoring drought, they hit a couple of threes, now all of a sudden they're down 4 and they're rolling, you know. So that was one of my concerns. And
that just didn't happen last night. So it was good to see. Last thing, man, before I jump off here, I grew up, I was a huge, I idolized Grant Hill, man. I loved the guy when he was drafted here. Heartbroken when he left. I actually got a chance to tell him that last year when I met him. Cade Cunningham reminds me so much of Grant Hill, just the way that he carries himself, the way that he controls the game. It's really, really good to see, man. It's good to have another superstar on the Pistons moving forward. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, I mean, there are similarities in their games. Bigger, shot-creating players.
Yeah.
Three-level scorers. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I see that. I mean, is Cade the single best player we've had since Grant Hill? I mean, they won the 04 yeah. title with a collection of all-stars.
Good players, yeah.
Yeah, even all-stars. But I think the level Cade is at is higher than the level that like a Rip or a Chauncey were at.
I would think so.
Okay. I don't know if that'd be blasphemous because Mabry loves those guys and they won a title.
I mean, Cade Cunningham is a top three MVP candidate right now.
Right.
And none of those guys on that team were.
Yeah. So the best player since Grant Hill.
At least.
At least. You could say best since Isaiah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves it. And he could go down as the best ever. It's way too early to start doing that. And he's got to hang some banners.
Yeah.
But overall game, I don't know if I've seen a better Piston.
Yeah, wow. Let's get to Martin in Detroit. Martin, a lot to talk about. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Cookies? How you doing, John?
Hey, good
what's
morning.
What's up?
Hey, man, you hit it right on the money, man. They are deep, man. When I look at the Javonte Green, and I think he scored like close to 20, and then even Dennis Jenkins scored 25 the other day. And if you look at Jaden Ivey, he only been averaging 15 or 20 minutes a game, and he scored like 16 points. And I still think he's going to be like their second option. They're just not playing him because, you know, they want him to get, you know, back into the groove of things. They don't want him to get re-injured. But this team is deep. You might be right. They might go 8 or 10 deep.
Yeah, I think so. And the reason – I mean, they've been able to develop that depth as well, sometimes because they've had to with mm-hmm. Cade or Durin or various guys being out. Other guys have stepped in. Dennis Jenkins being, you know, maybe one of the top names that has stepped in and stepped up when called upon.
Yeah, and like Ivy right now, I don't have an issue with his role, and maybe it does grow into more minutes, but last night he was part of that second unit. He had 16 points in 22 minutes. He's yeah. cutting without the ball. He's knocking down 3-point shots, which helps space the floor. We mm-hmm. talked about needing a shooter. It'd be nice if that was, you know, Jaden Ivey has another gear.
Well, and what was the concern? It, when Jaden Ivey comes back, can he and Cade play together? And now it's all up to JB to work that chemistry. And it feels like he's working him into a perfect role.
248-539-9797. We asked you the question, have you flipped the switch? Are you in basketball mode now? And last night was a great way to get into basketball season. It's 97.1.